talk.
One of the days I was thinking about it, so I was at the Kotel, and one guy was waiting to lead a minyan of the Kotel. He was yelling, "Mincha, mincha, mincha." So another guy comes along and says, "You know, do you have yahrzeit? Because I have yahrzeit, so I'd like to daven for the oven." So the first guy responded to him, "I don't really have yahrzeit, but if you daven for the oven, I simply cannot stand your voice, and I will have to leave this minyan." So the first guy, the first guy says, "You know, it's okay, I won't daven." But the second guy could not believe that that he reacted that way, and he just he moved away and went to another minyan. So I said to the guy next to me, "Now I know why we still don't have the Beis HaMikdash." The topic I'm going to speak about tonight is a topic that, seeing by how many people are here, everybody knows, you don't need me to tell you, is a huge issue in high schools in America. It's a huge issue on Kollel, unfortunately. And it's the issue we're going to talk about is verbal abuse. This is an issa d'oraisa. The Torah states, lo sonu ishes achiv. It's what the Torah refers to as onas devarim. The mere fact that verbal abuse is actually an issa d'oraisa should give us a little bit of pause. And unfortunately, the internet and social media has taken a major problem and turned it into a catastrophe. Because it's one thing to say something to somebody in their face, but of course, when you say it on your phone and when you say it when you're not in front of the person, it makes it that much easier to say it. When I was growing up, so there was this saying that people used to say, "Sticks and stones can break my bones, but words can never harm me." And while that is a good attitude to have if you're on the receiving end of verbal abuse, but on the giving end, we unfortunately know that this is absolutely not the case. So first we have to identify what exactly it is that we're speaking about. Now, as you all know better than me, or maybe as well as me, people call people out for absolutely anything they could possibly find about them. In our yeshiva, we have actually banned the use of the word Sfardi. You can't even say that word. You can't say the word Sfardi. Now, there are some Sfardim who are proud of being called a Sfardi, but other people take it and use it pejoratively. But people call anyone out for anything that they are even a little bit different than somebody else. They call people out who are dumb, and they call people out who are smart. They call people out who are rich. They call people out who don't have any money. They call people out who are short, or if they're tall. They're good looking or bad looking. They can't play ball, they can play ball. They're a super jock. People are, "You're a nerd, you're in the books all day," whatever it is. It's all Isser Doraisa. Doesn't make a difference what it is. It's all part of the Isser Doraisa. It's all part of the Torah prohibition of Lo Sonu Ishes Amiso. Now, let's just first identify, why is it so bad? Why does the Torah put such an emphasis on this that it's literally an Isser Doraisa? For many years I used to go around saying that verbal abuse, it's like driving a car on Shabbos. You probably heard that already a few times tonight. The saying, people went around saying, "Sticks and stones can break my bones, but words will never harm me." So why does the Torah not have that perspective? Why not? So the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos states, "Ba'asara ma'amaros nivra ha'olam." Hashem used speech to create the world. What does the Mishnah mean? Why did Hashem use speech to create the world? Perhaps the reason why Hashem used speech to create the world is to highlight and to underscore and to drill into each one of us how powerful words really are. The world was created with speech. Speech is what separates man from the animals. Speech is the connection between man's physical and spiritual sides. And that's why the Maharal says Moshe Rabbeinu had a speech impediment, because he was so super spiritual that his body simply couldn't contain his soul. So that reflected itself in speech. Speech can either build people up or speech can cut them down to size. There are two statements of the Gemara that are relevant for us to understand why negative speech is actually so bad. The first is the Gemara in Bava Metzia. The Gemara states, Gadol Ona'as Devarim Yoser Me Ona'as Mamon. Verbal abuse is worse than financial abuse. Verbal abuse is worse than stealing. It's worse than cheating somebody out of money. Shezu begufo, vizu bemamono. One only affects a person's pocket, but one affects a person's status, his body, his ability to exist. Zu nitan lehishavon. One can be given back. You steal money from somebody, you can give it back. Zu lo nitan lehishavon. The other, the Gemara says, once you say something, once you knock somebody down, you can't take it back. You can apologize, but the stinging, ringing comment has landed. You can't take back that what you caused that person. Bezu nemar v'yoresa me'elokecha, uvezu lo nemar v'yoresa me'elokecha. About one of them it says you should be careful, you should be in awe of Hashem, and one of them it doesn't say that. We don't realize that when we verbally abuse somebody, when we poke fun, when we take a stab at someone, even lightly, we don't realize that often we are removing from them their self-worth. V'yareisa me'elokecha, the Gemara highlights, the Gemara in Kedushin explains, this is said by sins that can look one way on the outside, but only Hashem knows the deep intentions of a person. The Gemara presents a number of examples of this. From the innocent reminder of the Baal Tshuva and the ger of their former lives, remember the way you used to be, to the well-intentioned but ill-advised telling of a person why bad has come upon to them, or to sending a person, giving a person bad advice. This ranges from the innocent to the malevolent. Only Hashem knows our true intentions, so we need to be super careful about this. I remember one time had a chavrusa with a guy who had a very, very rough former life, and he was really trying to improve and to grow. And literally somebody came in and ran into the middle of our chavrusa. He starts talking to this guy about the party times that they had together in their previous life. And I could see this guy, like, he didn't want me to know about all the things that he had been doing in his previous life. I could see the guy, he starts, oh, remember that time? Oh yeah, you're sitting and learning. I remember that time that we did this and we did that. And I could see the blood rising in this guy's face. Mamish, the way the Gemara says, Al tomel about tshuva, zechar ma'asecha harishonim. It's forbidden to tell a person who's gotten better, who's worked on himself. It's forbidden to tell a person, remember the way you used to be like. So, number one, we have to realize, as the Gemara states, when you make a comment about somebody, when you use that opportunity, you're literally zeb gufo zeb mamono. It's worse than stealing because you're taking away someone from their self-worth. And of course, we are all familiar with the very, very famous comment of the Gemara, the second statement, hamal bin pnei chaveru barabin, somebody who causes somebody else to be embarrassed, ki ilu shofech damin. It is like you are killing the person. As the pasuk says, "Hachayim v'hamaves biyad halashon." Really? It's like you're killing the person. So I have a new pshat in this. It's a little bit scary. It's a little bit dramatic. And it's really sad. And maybe this is an extreme pshat. But unfortunately, my new pshat has borne true over and over again. Right? You all read that Gemara and say, what do you mean? You embarrass somebody in public, it's like killing them. I don't have to tell you about all the people as a result of the fact that they were abused on social media or people ganged up on them. Unfortunately, we have now people in our day who commit suicide because of all the verbal abuse that they get. The Gemara knew this hundreds and thousands of years ago. That verbal abuse is like killing somebody. Nowadays we have a new pshat because of all the people, unfortunately, mamish, go to such terrible extent when people start ganging up on them, or people start excluding them from a chat, or excluding them from when people get together to go out. This type of embarrassment. And even if Rachman al-Itzlan Chas V'Shalom, we should never be privy to that. It won't lead to that. But this is, the Gemara says, why is it? The Gemara explains, it's like you slap somebody across the face. And you know that when you slap somebody across the face so it leaves a mark, and the red either drains and becomes white. This is how bad it is. When a person makes fun of someone, it's literally a smack across the face, and the face changes, the blood leaves, and the face changes from red to white or white to red. We don't know people's sensitivities. We don't know people's insecurities. This is a major sickness. A major sickness in our schools, in our groups. It's a major sickness in our own, unfortunately, even here at NCSY Kollel. I want you to Google, when you get a chance, the name Lizzie Velasquez, who was branded the ugliest girl in the world. The ugliest girl in the world. She made a video or something, and the video went viral, and people started calling her the ugliest girl in the world. This is a girl who suffers from a disease called Marfan's disease. She cannot accumulate body fat. So she really, if you look at her for the first time, she really, you know, it's a very shocking kind of perspective. And literally, because she has this illness, people on the internet started making fun of her and making fun of her and making fun of her, and it became like a whole viral thing. And she, incredibly, was able to turn this around. She's now like a public speaker who was able to turn this around and use her experiences to speak publicly about how terrible it is that people call people out for these things. And she's now somebody who has been raising tremendous awareness about it. You can Google it, the ugliest girl in the world. She was able to turn it around for the good. So my point number one, we have to realize this is very, very serious. It's very, very bad. The Gemara considers it like killing. The Gemara considers it like taking away a person's self-worth. But I don't want to spend time telling you about how serious an issue this is. We have to try to strategize how we are going to address this issue. We all know it's a problem. We've all been part of it at some point or another. We've all violated this. In order for us to understand how we're going to fix this issue, or how we're going to begin to fix it, is we have to understand why it is that people do this. Why do we feel the need to do this? Why do we do it? Number one reason why we do this is we just do not realize how hurtful our words are. We say, it's just a joke. The person who I said it to laughed also. It's just a joke. But we don't realize how often when you say this something to somebody else and it's just a joke, how underneath that person is burning. They might have laughed also, but underneath they are burning. Most Jews who do this to other Jews are not really mean, nasty people. They just don't realize how they are actually shooting a bullet through someone. And that's the way I want you to start realizing the way your words are. Your mouth is a machine gun. It's a machine gun. I want you to realize that every word that comes out of your mouth is literally a machine gun. They don't realize that they're shooting a bullet at somebody. We don't realize that people have all kinds of sensitivities. I want to share with you a beautiful idea that made such a deep impact on me about this. I heard it from Rabbi Pesach Kron. He was quoting from somebody else. The Pasuk says that Yaakov loved Leah more than Rachel. That's what the Torah says. Vayehav es Leah yoseh mirachel. The next Pasuk says, Vayar Hashem ki snua. Again, the Pasuk says, Vayehav es Rachel yoseh mirachel. Excuse me, that Yaakov loved Rachel more than Leah. The next Pasuk says, and God saw that Leah was hated. Asked Rabbi Kron, quoted from somebody else, I forgot who. Where does it say that Yaakov hated Leah? It doesn't say that he hated her. It just said he loved Rachel more. So why does the next pasuk say that God saw that Leah was hated? Said Rabbi Kron, it doesn't matter what Yaakov thought. It doesn't matter what Yaakov said. It mattered what Leah felt. So God viewed it the way Leah heard it. Even though Yaakov never meant to hate Leah, since Leah felt hated, God said Leah was hated by Yaakov. It doesn't matter what Yaakov said or what Yaakov meant. It mattered the way Leah heard it. And we don't realize, we might have meant it as a joke, but it doesn't matter what we meant it as. It matters the way a person takes it. And if you don't believe this about relationships now, you better learn this well before you get married. Because it doesn't matter what you said to the person. It matters the way the other person took it. And this is crucial for any kind of relationship. So number one, why do we do it? Because we don't realize how bad it is. We don't realize how the person's going to take it. Number two, we want attention. The people who get the most attention, who are the most popular, unfortunately, are the people who know how to land the most lines to people most often. We watch sitcoms, and the way people are cool is they make fun of people. Why is Jerry Seinfeld a gazillionaire? Because he made his money making fun of people. So these are our role models, and this is what we look at. And we think if he does it, and he became a gazillionaire, so you can put people down, people are scared of you, and people are going to try to impress you. It's actually really covering up a low self-esteem. I always say about people, are you so low that in order to put yourself up, you have to put other people down? You can't even exist within your own skin. You don't even have the own self-esteem to be able to... Usually the people who are running around putting other people down are the people who themselves suffer from low self-esteem. People with a healthy sense of self don't have the need to make fun of other people and put other people down. Usually the people who are putting people down, it shows that they themselves have an unhealthy sense of self. And the third is what we really talked about before. We have no tolerance for differences. We need everybody to be exactly like us. We don't respect differences. We live in the I generation. Everybody needs a minion of people who are davening exactly like them. We need a minion that davens exactly not too fast for me and not too slow for me. I only can associate with people who are exactly like me. I can only invite into my crew or into my group chat only people who have exactly my philosophies and look at the world exactly. We have no tolerance for differences. And that's not what Am Yisrael is. Am Yisrael is made up of 12 tribes. Yaakov Avinu gathered together all the tribes before he highlighted their differences and said, Reuven, you're supposed to be like this. And Shimon, you're going to be like this. And Yisachar is going to be this. And Zebulun, you have this talent. And this one has that talent. Klal Yisrael is made up of 12 tribes. Why did God make us up of 12 tribes? Why does the Gemara say Shimon, Panim, Latorah? There are 70 different approaches. Because we're supposed to learn how to be tolerant of other people's approaches who are not exactly like us. We're supposed to realize there are different ways of doing things and different people have different talents and different abilities. This is what the Jewish people are about. Yaakov would only point out the differences in his sons when he introduced it by saying, Hey, Kavtsu, come together, Vishimu. Come together. Exactly when he was highlighting their differences, the only way it's going to work is if we each tolerate each other and we recognize that people have difference. This is what Avos Yisrael is. To treat every single Jew, no matter whether he's exactly like you or very, very different than you, to love every Jew, to treat each Jew like your brother. So I have, very briefly, six practical suggestions. Six suggestions to make yourself, to make ourselves more tolerant people. Six brief, quick suggestions. Number one is very simply, we have to work on our Avas Yisrael. We have to work on our love of every single Jew. When you see another Jew, especially a Jew who's not like you, especially someone who's not like you, you have to realize, I have a commandment. Even someone who's really annoying, and there are a lot of people who can be very, very annoying, but we have to become more tolerant people. How do we do that? We do that by realizing that you're not so perfect yourself. It's not like you have no problems. It's not like you have no issues. It's not like you're Mr. Perfect. You have challenges as well. Everybody has their own challenges. You know, there's an old Yiddish saying that if a lot of people had all different challenges, everybody would throw all their challenges down onto a table. We'd all want to take our own bag back. Everybody's got their own challenges. You think somebody else is annoying? Well, you're not so perfect either. You have your own issues and your own problems. So we have to learn how to be tolerant. Number two, realize that people have insecurities.
realize that everybody has their own insecurities, everybody has their own things that bother them, that worry them. You have to be careful not to press people's buttons. You don't know. You'll say one thing to a person and he'll take it and it won't be a problem. But you'll say the same thing to another person and he'll go crazy flying off the handle. That's the way people are. People have different insecurities. So you can't just say, oh, because most people wouldn't react that way, but one person would react that way. Realize people are different. They've gone through different life experiences, and the way they were raised, the different life experiences that they had, means that they may have particular insecurities. Realize, be careful. Measure your words before you say something. Think, maybe this person might have an insecurity about this. Maybe it's going to touch a button with a person. 3, only joke around with people that you are absolutely 100% sure that you are very good friends with them. And with people who have a healthy sense of self-esteem. And be very careful, watch out for your intentions. Don't joke around with someone who's not your really close friend. And even if someone who is your really close friend, be careful because you might land something that will get to them. Number 4, what I said before. Whenever you're speaking to somebody else, realize that your mouth is a machine gun. Hachayim v'hamavis b'yad ha'lashon. Literally, hachayim v'hamavis b'yad ha'lashon. Your mouth is a machine gun. Your words can cut somebody down. Your words can kill. I don't believe that most people, there are a few malevolent, horrible exceptions, but most people, when they talk to other people, don't mean to cut somebody down, would never want to cause pain to another Jew, would never want to cause harm to somebody. We just don't realize that our mouths are machine guns. We just don't realize that every word has the power to kill. Every word has the power to take away somebody's self-esteem. That joke has the power to do it. So we have to realize that. Number 5, related to what I said really in number 1, you're not so fantastic yourself. When you put somebody down, it takes a certain amount of arrogance to be able to put somebody else down. You know, he can't play, or he can't ref, or he smells. Or this guy, you know, he's always, you know, he eats like a slob, or he's fat. Or you have your own issues. You have your own challenges. How can you put somebody else down? You have your own insecurities that you wouldn't. And I want to tell you a story briefly about when I was in yeshiva in Israel. There was one guy in the yeshiva who used to annoy the living daylights out of me. Used to annoy the daylights out of me. He'd come over to me all the time in yeshiva, ask me the most inane questions, and I felt he was just doing it to bother me. And I tell you, I hated the guy. I hated him. I could not stand this person. And after a little while, it bothered me that I hated this guy. It bothered me that I just literally could not stand him. And as he would start walking over to me from across the base Spanish, I would start to cringe and shake. And I thought about it for a long time, and it really bothered me that I hated this guy's guts because he annoyed me like crazy. But I started working on myself, and I started saying to myself, yeah, he does annoy me. But I started thinking along these lines. Am I so perfect? I don't annoy anybody. I never need my needs taken care of at a certain time. I do everything so perfectly. He's annoying me. And I worked on myself and worked on myself. And it took a long time. I worked on myself. But I was finally able to convince myself, no, I love this guy also. With all of his craziness, he makes me nuts, but I love him anyway. I have to learn how to accept it, how to tolerate it. You can work on yourself. You can change. You can grow. Please always remember how powerful words are to build. How powerful saying to somebody something positive is. We live in a generation of people who are starving for good attention. Our parents are so busy, sometimes they don't have the time to give us that we need. How a positive word to a classmate in the hallway, positive words make people feel like $1 million. Focus on saying positive things. Train ourselves to say positive things. At the beginning, it's awkward, but if you could learn how to say something, wow, that was a great game, that was a great shot, good try, good effort. Learn how to say positive things. It's such a tremendous positive. I remember a long time ago, there was a young man deciding what to do over the summer for his summer plans.
and he was headed to go to one summer program, and then he went to a Shabbaton, and he met their kids who were planning on going to NC Swatbola. And after spending that Shabbos with kids who were planning on going to NC Swatbola, he said, "These are the kids that I want to hang out with for the summer." Why? Because at that time, at that Shabbaton, those kids were talking positively, or were always saying nice things to people. This kid was used to his high school culture of being around people who constantly put people down, constantly said negative things, and he said, "This is where I want to spend my summer." And this is the type of kids that we have on Kol. Kids who understand how to say positive things. This has always been the hallmark of who we are. We still have a week left, and some of us perhaps this summer have not stood for what this Kol always has stood for. And let's, in the last week, try to stand up for speaking the right way and stand up for measuring our words. And the last thing, and this is maybe the hardest of all of it, the last thing, stand up for it. Stand up for it. Have the self-confidence to be that person who's going to stand up for it. We have to make it in our schools, in our grades, and it all depends on the leaders of the grade. It all depends on the leaders of the grade. The leaders of the grade have to accept upon themselves that in our grade, this will not stand. This will not be tolerated. You're not going to be popular in this school, in this grade, if this is going to be allowed to go on. We're not going to give those people the honor of being the leaders of our grade. The people who speak negatively, who use their mouths as machine guns, who leave people out, who make people to feel not comfortable, not welcome, not accepted. The leaders have to lead. We have to go out of our way to speak to people who are victims of this and build them up and include them and invite them over to our houses. Each of us can make a huge difference in our rooms on Kollel, on our teams, in our schools, in our classrooms. And it's no exaggeration to say that this is what is going to be the secret to rebuild the Beis HaMikdash, which we've been speaking about. We know that the second Beis HaMikdash was destroyed because of this, because of sinas chinam, because of verbal abuse, because people didn't know how to speak. One person at a time, one statement at a time, we can change the world in this regard. One person leads to another person, leads to another person. Let's remember, our mouth is a machine gun. Let's always use it only positively.